like to invite you to turn with me to John 14, the Gospel of John 14. And I'll read the first 7 verses. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. My Father's house has plenty of room. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you know him and have seen him. This is the word of the Lord. Friends of Jesus Christ, here our Lord makes an astonishing claim. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through me. It is a claim that has been received by some with great joy, and by others with apprehension, even disgust. It has seemed to those who respond negatively that Jesus here sounds exclusive, making a put down on all those who have striven to make it home. I am the way, the life, and the truth. To understand it, I think it's really important, of course, to kind of get the context. And as you know, Jesus is here speaking on the night in which he was betrayed. They're in the upper room. In the previous chapter, he has mentioned that he is leaving, and Peter has asked, where are you going? There is misunderstanding. There is dread in the air. Everyone knows that they're on a collision course with the authorities. So there's the rumble of panic underneath everyone's feet. And then in the midst of that, Jesus says to his disciples, do not let your hearts be troubled. Raymond Brown, who has this wonderful commentary on John, says, a heart that is troubled is a heart that shudders. Do not let your hearts shudder. 2 times before, John has used that word, shudder, to describe Jesus. In John 11, when Jesus is at Lazarus' tomb and he sees Mary weeping and all those with her weeping, we're told that his spirit is deeply moved and that he is troubled. He shudders. Shuddering happens in the presence of darkness, in the presence of Satan's reign. Because then later, again in chapter 13, Jesus is described as one who is troubled, who shudders, and testifies that one of you will betray me. And now Jesus says to his disciples there in the upper room, do not shudder. And the question is, how does one keep from shuddering? What will still the heart? He says, trust in God and trust also in me. Now, the linking of God and the Christ is in itself astonishing. But let's simply think of the trusting, the believing. It means that you and I, that his disciples, we not only give Jesus a thumbs up or a vote of confidence, but in believing or in trusting in Christ and God, we are, as it were, linking, fixing our future on the certainty that God and Christ will be victorious over evil. We trust in them. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there's plenty of room, many, many abiding places. Our destination is the Father. The end of all of our journeying is to be at our Father's house. And there's many abiding places. There's room for each one of us. It underscores our individuality. You, I, everyone. There's plenty of room, Jesus says. And if it were not so, I wouldn't be telling you that I'm preparing a place for you. Now, I got to tell you, I've always liked Jesus saying, if it were not so. Because it strikes me that it says Jesus has considered the alternative. That in the end, there would not be a door, but a wall. That in the end, the panic that's beneath our feet will triumph, and evil will have the last word. If that were so, Jesus says, I would have told you. I'd be honest with you. I'd be upfront. I wouldn't be telling you that I'm going to prepare a place for you if there was no place, if there was but a wall and not a door at the end of all your journeying. But I'm going there to prepare a place. I will make this place available for you, accessible. And then Jesus says, so that where I am, you can be also. What has struck me this week, you know, not only have I thought about this passage, but of course we're thinking of Easter. And in the garden, there's this incredible scene where Mary, do you remember Mary, recognizes Jesus and grasps, takes hold of him. And Jesus then says, do not take hold of me, Mary, because I've not yet ascended to the Father. But you tell my brothers that I am ascending to my Father and your Father, my God and your God. In other words, the end of his journey is to bring all of us into sweet communion with God. That is the end of all of his striving to bring and to reconcile us to God. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many, many rooms. If that were not so, I would not have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you. But I'm going, and I will come back, and I will take you to that place, Jesus says. And you know the way where I am going. And then, of course, Thomas says, but how can we know the way? We're not even sure where you're going. And then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Just one little word about that, except through me. Jesus is not, as it were, jealous of competitors. It's not like he's got that copyrighted and he resents anyone else who tries to do what he's doing. The claim that no one comes to the Father except through me is simply to assert that the gap between us and God is so vast, and the enemies along the way to the Father's house, the dragons that you and I must pass, are so fierce, so far beyond our capacity to handle, that no one comes to the Father. No one comes to the Father except through Christ. He alone is able to bridge the gap, to take on our enemies. That's why he's the way, the truth, and the life. Now, just a little bit about that. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, we all understand that the way is the central word. And the truth and the life, they do not so much describe the way as they describe Christ. So it's not the truthful way or the living way. No, it is because Christ is the truth and the life that he is capable, qualified as the way. I am the way because I am the truth. He who has seen me has seen the Father. Here is revelation you can count on. I am the way because I am the life. The Father is in me and I am in the Father. He is the medium, the channel that brings God's life into human life. I am the way, and I am capable, I am qualified to being the way, because I am the truth and the life. It is because Jesus Christ comes to us from the triune life of God into human life that he is the truth and the life. And it is because he is able to bring human life into a full participation in God's life that he is the way. Now, in what way is Jesus related to the way? And that's what I'm going to finish with. If he is the way that brings us into participation, into the presence of God, in what way is that related to Jesus? And here I just want to say this, that he is related to the way not as a moral teacher or as a leader. The way is not outside of Christ, separate from him. Simply as though Jesus were simply an instrument for the way. He's in that way very different from Buddha. I read once that in Buddhism it said, if you meet Buddha on the road, shoot him or kill him. You don't have any need for him anymore. It's like a piano teacher. After a while, if you've become better than your piano teacher, you don't have any need for the piano teacher anymore. You got to go look elsewhere. But Jesus is the way, and the way is not separate from him. It is in him. He embodies it. And to participate in the way, we need to be incorporated into Christ, joined into Jesus. Eugene Peterson, you know what he talks? He talks about prepositional participation. He says, our whole Christian life is defined by prepositions. Christ with us, Christ in us, Christ for us. He says, one of the great tragedies of American spirituality is that we concentrate too much on ourselves, our inner life, our wanting to develop our gifts, when as a matter of fact, the focus is always on the Christ who is in us, with us, and for us. And our role is to learn to be in step with him, to find our rest in him, not to shudder. Some weeks ago I was talking to someone who comes to church but doesn't believe anything, but he comes because his wife comes and loves the Lord. And at one point we were talking and he said, you know what's, I find among other things troubling about Christians is that they're so restless. They're always feeling they should do this and they should do that and they shouldn't have done that and they shouldn't have done that. He wasn't saying it, but he thought he saw too much shuddering in the Christian community. And I said, you know, I can understand that a little bit, and it's not the way it should be, but yeah, that's how it is sometimes. We do feel like we're falling way short. Anyway, later that day, I was thinking about that conversation, and I thought, you know, we ought to get a different picture of the Christian life. And then I thought, well, maybe it's a bit like, you know, if you've ever been in a strange city and you had to catch a plane and you get into a taxi and the traffic is bad and there's construction and you're getting late and you feel harried and rushed and, you know, you're not sure you're going to make it. You get to the airport and you got to get the security checks and the time is just, you know, you're not sure you're going to make it and you're running down the hall and you see your gate and they're about to close the door and you scream and they see you and they leave the door open. You push your way through the cabin and you're apologizing for bumping into people, but then finally you're at your seat and you sit down, and even though your hair is disheveled and you're perspiring terribly and you don't have everything placed in the, you know, in their right places, you have this great sense of relief. You just sit down and you think, I'm going to make it. I'm on my way home. Now, when Christ says he is the way, you should take your seat in him, your place in him, be incorporated in him. And let it be such a comfort in that it takes away the shuddering. He's the way. And he's the way because he is the truth and the life. So do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't shudder. Let Christ be in you. Let Christ be for you. Let Christ be with you till you come to your Father's house. Amen.